ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय।
टुडे वी विल रीड द 22nd श्लोक वासांस जीर्णानि। आई थिंक लास्ट टाइम वी फिनिश्ड 14 एंड 15। प्लीज रेस्पॉन्ड। वासांस जीर्णानि यथा विहाय नवानि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि संयाति नवानि देहि। Somebody can read the translation. Somebody. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे। How many of you are present to the last lecture? How many of you? Then somebody can tell me in the essence, maybe in one or two sentences, what we discussed last time. Yes, that was the main thing, isn't it? That we were discussing about the matra sparsha, the happinesses and distresses that arise from sense perception. Krishna says, agama apayana anityaha. They come, they go, and they are temporary. Happiness is temporary, misery is temporary in this world. They come like seasons coming in our lives. And they are simply sense perception. So, we took the main theme as the sense gratification, the so-called pleasures of this world. I think we discussed about the modern man's outlook of what is happiness, isn't it? Interesting subject here. Krishna is saying here, as a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Vasa means dress. Vasaansi jirnani. Jirna means when it gets old. Yata vihaya, as when your dress gets old, you throw it away. Navani vidnati, you accept a new one. Nara means a human being. Similarly, tata sharirani vihaya, when the body gets jirna, old, then the soul leaves that old body. Anyani samyati, samyati means to accept. Anyani samyati, he accepts another body. So, in the previous classes, we have discussed something about this, about soul and the body. You all, I'm sure, you must be remembering about it from the Pejinos in the Tadi. Shloka also we studied about it. About how we are not this body is just like a dress. Here Krishna gives the example of a dress. And we are the soul. I gave another example, somebody else remembers? For this body and soul analogy. Anything else anybody remembers? A car and the driver. The soul is like the driver, the body is like the car. I gave one more example. Of course, I just used the word vehicle, isn't it? The body is like a vehicle for the soul. Just like, say, if you have a cycle, you are riding a bicycle, say, if all of a sudden the bicycle breaks down, what do you do? Either you have to get another bicycle, or you have to stop bicycling, you have to completely stop cycling. In the same way, Krishna says that this body is a vehicle, And this body breaks down at one point, and it becomes non-functional. Then the soul has to accept another body, and the soul goes on accepting one body after another like this. And this process goes on. What is the problem about this, accepting one body after another? I'm sure all of you understand this concept, isn't it? Like you have a vehicle now, you give up that vehicle and accept the second one. And you give up that vehicle and accept the third one. Like, you know, you give up a cycle and accept a scooter. And give up a scooter and accept a car. Similarly, Atma, that is we, all of us, we are pure spirit souls. Somebody can tell me what is Atma made up of? What is Atma made up of? Somebody can tell me? Somebody else who is attending this program? What is soul made up of? What is body made up of? What are all the substances in this body? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Similarly, what is the soul made up of? Somebody knows? What is soul made up of? What is the soul made up of? Who can say? We discussed about it, I think, in Dehinos Nitadehi Kamaram Yavananjara. The soul is made up of Sat-Chit Ananda, it is said. Sat-Chit Ananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss. This is spiritual substance. So we cannot see it with eyes. It is not solid, it is not liquid, it is not gas, it is not plasma, it is not any of these things. It is not matter at all. It is beyond matter, it is pure spirit soul. And this, Atma is the real personality, Krishna says. Now one may wonder, why to bother about something that we cannot see with eyes, that we cannot perceive so easily? Why not just go ahead with the enjoyments of life? We all are assembling together to discuss about the soul for a very important reason. Krishna says, you are yourself this soul, and this body is only a covering, and you don't die at the time of death. You leave this body and you occupy another one. Until we understand this root of all existence, the Atma, we cannot achieve any happiness in life, no matter how much we work hard. Everyone in this world wants happiness. But people do not know where the happiness is lying. You heard of this kasturi deer? You all know kasturi deer? And kasturi deer, where is the kasturi kept? In the stomach of the deer. But when he gets a smell, the deer runs everywhere around, all over in the forest, but he is unable to achieve the object which is desired. But ultimately the fragrance is coming from his own stomach. Similarly, in our case also, the real happiness is in the soul. And if you turn away from the soul, don't understand it, you can run all over the world, you cannot get happiness. There are people who go abroad, who earn so much money, they get a good car, they get a good bungalow, they have all facilities. But the happiness is lacking. The most important element, what they are working for in life. They are not just telling something fictitious. You can ask people in their own lives. Happiness is something that we aspire for and accept that everything else is there in life. So, Krishna, right at the outset, is trying to pacify Arjuna, telling him, my dear Arjuna, you are a great warrior. The whole Kurukshetra army is waiting for you with bated breath. And everyone is thinking, what is Arjuna going to do? Because this one man's decision is going to influence the whole war. He is fit to become the king of the whole world. Such Arjuna, although he is so courageous, still here in the middle of the battlefield, he is shivering and he is crying tears and he is putting his Gandiva bow down and sitting on the chariot. So this could happen to you and me in our lives. In all of our lives, we may have everything in life, but without the knowledge of the soul, no matter what we have in life, we cannot achieve peace of mind and we cannot achieve happiness. So Krishna is teaching him this knowledge to bring back Arjuna to the understanding that you are not the body, you are the soul. This is the first one, knowledge. And besides the soul, in this body, there is also a super soul, Paramatma we call, the super soul, who is sitting by the side of the soul. In the Mundaka Upanishad, there is an example of two birds sitting in a tree. One is a bird which eats fruits. Sometimes he eats sweet fruits and is enjoying. Other times he eats bitter fruits. And whenever you eat bitter fruit, just like when you eat this bitter gourd, you know bitter gourd? It's very, very bitter. Immediately one twists the face. Or if you're eating a gulab jamun, then you're feeling very happy. Similarly, the bird who is eating the sweet fruits and bitter fruits is undergoing happiness and suffering like that. Whereas the other bird is silently sitting and watching by his side. And he is inviting him, why don't you turn to me? I'll tell you how to become happy. So this example is given in the Upanishads. In the tree of this body, the body is compared to a tree. And in that tree of the body, there are two birds sitting, soul and super soul. So the super soul is always peaceful. The Supreme God Krishna, he expands the super soul in everyone's heart. So in our heart also there is a super soul sitting and inviting us. Many times we call something called as conscience. You all know conscience? Like whenever you go for doing wrong things, there is something within you which tells you, don't do it. There is something. You know it is wrong. And when you do it, it really pinches you. So there is a super soul sitting and guiding us. And he is waiting for a very long time. For many, many lives he is waiting to tell us how to become happy. So now, all of us, by beginning to read Bhagavad Gita, we are slowly turning our face towards the super soul now. And we begin to hear what he says. So by hearing him, what happens? Gradually we get an awakening in our life. Awakening, just like a sleeping man waking up. Like somebody is sleeping, especially in the early mornings, in cold mornings of Pune, nobody wants to wake up. Like somebody comes and wakes you up. Even if somebody pats you, do you wake up so easily? No. By patting you, by pinching you, if somebody pinches you, you will just turn around and sleep on the other side. You just don't want to wake up. It's very cold. You just cover yourself with a blanket and go to sleep. By touching you or showing something in front of you, somebody takes a clock and shows you, just look at the time. You will not be able to see. Because your eyes are closed, you can't see it. But if somebody goes near your ears and then calls you, Prabhupada gives example that somebody is waking up Mr. John. Mr. John, wake up! And then he is thinking, you know, who is disturbing me? Mr. John, wake up! Wake up! He shouts at his ears. The more he increases the intensity, then gradually this person starts getting disturbed and slowly opens his eyes and asks, who is it who is disturbing me? Who is waking me up? So the hearing sense is very, very powerful. So by hearing his name, he started waking up. Similarly, here Krishna is giving knowledge to Arjuna and we all are hearing the same knowledge, and by hearing it we get awakened to the real knowledge. That I am not this body. What is this body? We think I am this body, I do not know anything about this body. Do you remember in one of the classes I was asking you a question? If you think you are the body, can you tell me how many hairs you have on your head? Isn't it? Can anybody tell you? Tell me. How many hairs? It's your own body, but you don't even know anything about it. You don't know. You don't know how the nails are growing. Nails keep coming out, how the body is growing, how we eat the food, how the food is digesting. It's our own body, we don't know. This body, we think is me, or we think is ours, but it's controlled by somebody else. Control is not in our hands. Just like somebody gives you a beautiful car, take this car, and you're standing by the side of the car, and people may appreciate you, oh, you have a beautiful car. But you don't have the keys for the car. You cannot open it, you cannot sit inside, you cannot drive it, you can't do anything. What is the use of the car? Similarly, if you see, we think we are the controllers of this body. But over a period of time, as we grow in spiritual life, we can get to see that we don't have any control. Especially over the years, you can see when we grow older and older, the body doesn't act according to our interests. The body just goes out of control. It undergoes something like irreversible dwindling. It just doesn't cooperate with us. So then we can understand. So, we wake up to the knowledge of the soul. Here Krishna is saying, Vasansi Jirnan Yata Vihaya. Just like one changes dress, similarly, we change bodies. Why Krishna is talking the example of a dress? It's very meaningful. Like you go to a clothes shop, you see varieties of dresses. You can pick up a t-shirt, or you can pick up a jeans, or you can pick up maxi or mini or whatever. You pick up any dress you want, isn't it? You pick up dress according to your choice. In the same way, the soul also picks up a body according to his choice. But how is the choice made? The choice is made based on his ability of paying price. How much price you can pay, accordingly you can get a dress, isn't it? Like if you want very costly suitings, you have to pay a very high price. Or you can buy a t-shirt in the street for 50 rupees or 100 rupees, isn't it? Or if you want a nice costly shirt at 500 rupees, then you have to pay a higher price. Similarly, body also, if one wants a human body, then one should have done good karma to get a human body. Or if one has done bad karma, one may get animal body also. So what body you will get will depend on what? What karma you have performed. Good karma and bad karma. It is not an exaggeration to say, we may achieve any kind of body in the next life. In the Shastra, there is a vivid description about evolution. Have you heard of Darwin's evolution theory? How many of you know about it? What is Darwin's evolution theory? How many of you? Put up your hands. Heard of Darwin's evolution theory? Yeah. But you can say, what is Darwin's evolution theory? What? You know, you can tell in your words what you understand. Yes, yeah. Anything more anybody else knows about this theory?
Survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest, yes. So, according to Darwin, Darwin, I think in 1859, Darwin proposed the theory of evolution, after which it became quite famous worldwide, for several reasons. According to Darwin, everything, the absolute creator, he must have breathed out one or more forms of living beings, in the dawn of creation. At least he said that, but the neo-Darwinists even reject that. They say there is no creator. So Darwin said, but that single cellular form gradually multiplied and became multicellular. And then gradually grew up, and then it became a fish in water. Because only those which can survive in water, they came first. And then gradually it became a fish. And then Darwin tells many stories, very nice, funny stories. Have you heard of just those stories you heard? Of Rudyard Kipling? So similar stories, Darwin also tells, which people take it as very serious scientific theory. He says how this fish once got out of water and then started developing senses like hands and legs for walking on land. That means the fish is using fins for steering in water, so they should turn into hands. And its tail has to change into legs, isn't it? And the gills he has for respiration in water, they have to change into lungs if he has to breathe like an animal. So how did the changes come about? Darwin said, over many thousands of years it must have happened. That is how the amphibians must have come, and after that land animals must have come. And the funniest thing is, he says, how the whales came, that's a different story that he says. He says that once a bear, he entered into waters for catching the insects. He started swimming in waters, struggling to catch the insects and eat them. And swimming, gradually he started staying in water for a long time, and eventually turned into a whale. In my school days, I read the story of Rudyard Kipling, just those stories, where he writes how the elephant got its long nose. Anybody knows? You heard the story? You heard it? Rudyard Kipling says, he says, once a small child elephant who was supposed to be always with his mother, somehow or other lost touch with the mother, and he went close to a river where the water was very silvery, attractive. He started looking at the fun in the river, and something like a mound came up on the top, and he became curious to go and find out what it is. He went nearby and then touched it like this, and as soon as he touched it, immediately a big crocodile leapt up and he caught hold of the nose of the elephant. And then the child started jumping up and down, trying to come out of water. But he started catching his, trunk strongly. And then he pulled and when he came back to the bank by escaping from the crocodile, what happened? He got a long nose. Of course, this is not Darwin's theory. This is a Rudyard Kipling's fiction story. But if you see Darwin's theory, it doesn't appear to be far from Rudyard Kipling's funniest stories. If you ask Darwin, how did the giraffe get his long neck? In his theory, Darwin writes like this, that one time the ground grazers, those who used to eat some grass in the ground, they started lifting up their heads and started eating from the trees. And then there was a competition. And then when they started grazing on the lower branches, only some of those animals could stretch their necks to such limits that they could get grass at great heights, that they could get the leaves at great heights. The other giraffes, who had little shorter necks, maybe 4 or 5 inches shorter, they all could not get those leaves in the tree. So they died. They pitiably died. And this is the, like he rightly said, survival of the fittest. So he said they extended their necks, extended, and then this way their necks became longer and longer. Now one may get many questions now. It is said, just imagine the sight. There are many dead giraffes lying all around. While You know, ground grazers like antelopes are very merrily walking by and they don't die. Why? Because they are eating from the ground. Now, what was the problem with the giraffes that they could not eat in the ground? Why should they eat from the trees? Or was their neck so long that, you know, they could not, you know, bend down and eat the grass on the ground? No. According to Darwin, they died out of hunger, not out of thirst. Because they could drink water. If they could drink water from the river, why can't they eat grass on the ground? So these questions are asked by scientists themselves. And besides that, another scientist, one Sunderland, he says, if this animal had a long neck, also the fossils means the bones from the ground, they should show intermediate lengths, you know. There should be animals which had this much longer neck, this much, and this much, and finally, the longest of the necks. But the giraffe has the longest neck and there is no animal in between having in between intermediate links like that. So he writes, this is a pure fiction. It's nothing more than pure fiction. So this is one or two funny stories I'm telling you from Darwin. There are many, many like this. And biologists take these things very seriously, the survival of the fittest theory, and they propose this to be as if it's a gospel truth that everyone has to accept. And according to Darwin, he says one particular form of an animal gets transformed into another, like a fish becomes amphibian, and the amphibian turns into a bigger four-legged animal, and then comes back into the water and becomes a whale or whatever, and some turn into birds, you know, and they start developing wings and flying. So there is no proof. If you see, there are no intermediate links between one form and another form. In fact, let us come to the point of human being. According to Darwin, 2 lakh years ago, there were no human beings, but there were only apes, which started walking like human beings, like the human beings are walking. And they are called as Homo sapiens, they call, and then later on after that, and then 50,000 years after that, gradually the human being developed into Australopithecus, like that. And then the Homo sapiens sapiens, and Homo sapiens they call. And then the most modern man, like all of you who look like modern people now, this kind of man developed only 40,000 years ago. There was a Neanderthal man, and then 40,000 years ago, there was Homo sapiens sapiens, who is the most civilized man. Now, according to Darwin, only 10,000 years ago, the most developed man with all this art and culture developed. So if you read Darwin's theory, in the school textbooks of children, they teach that there was a caveman who was living in caves, you know, and he used to use some flints and stones to kill animals, and he was very, very uncultured, like tribals. And then later on he gradually developed to become modern, and he came to cities and he developed cities and he became modern man. But if you see, the scientists themselves have researched by digging the fossils. Darwin said, if my theory were true, then what you would find is, you'll find the modern man, and below that you'll find gradually his face cut should be becoming like what? Like ape. They actually become like apes. And then gradually, and then you go down, down, at one point of time it stops. And then you find only the monkeys, only the apes you find. And then below that there should be some other animal. And some other animal, it should be going on like that. So it develops like that. That's what Darwin said. But then strangely enough, when they dug the fossils, now there are 20 million fossils available worldwide. So there is an institute abroad, who is like the leading institute all over the world. They say now we don't have to dig any more fossils, now we have everything. And we find that, unfortunately, it doesn't go with the theory of Darwin. Because we have found out why only 2 million years ago, even 5 million years ago, there are human being skulls which are parallel existing with many other animals. Not only monkeys, many other animals. And there are 10 million years ago, 20 million years ago, 40 million years ago. You can go down like that. And human beings have been existing. And when Darwin proposed this theory, at that time, people had dug these skulls, but they were afraid to, you know, put forth, because they were afraid that what will happen if we say something against Darwin's theory, people will ridicule you. So for a long time it was hidden, and then later on things started releasing. In fact, many of the, like the Piltdown man was a fraud. They joined a, you know, ape-like skull and human-like skull and ape-like jaw and things like that. So it shows clearly that human beings have existed at periods which we cannot even conceive of. Human beings have been existing for a long time. And one living form is not transforming into another living form. Monkeys remain monkeys, dogs remain dogs, human beings remain humans. And in our current experience, nor in a period of millions of years one body is converting into another, one body is transforming into another. Of course, I am trying to make it as brief as possible, but you can read elaborately about this in one of our recent books, Your Sacred Journey. We have devoted 3 full chapters to this, to understanding how primitive is the theory of Darwin. He is talking about primitive men, his theory is primitive, because it is having such wild guesses and assumptions, and it is so down there dogmatic that it claims the respect of a theory that has been proved experimentally in the laboratory. Not one thing could be proved from the Darwin's theory, if you see like that. But why Darwin's theory is accepted in the schools today, if you see, children are not presented this theory as a theory, but it is presented as a fact. And no questions are entertained. One of my friends in IIT, he protested when this theory was presented in the class. And immediately the professor became angry. He said, no one has ever questioned this theory. Shut down. Shut up your mouth and sit down in your seat, he told him. So no teacher entertains any question, because it is so dogmatic that you will not be allowed to ask any question, because there is no proof. There are no connections between one form and another form. As I told you, that the fish, if fish is turning into a reptile or a bird, there are no connecting links in between. But it is simply an imagination or a hypothetical theory. So now Darwin said, one form is changing into another. How Prabhupada would say? Prabhupada says, certainly there is evolution, but there is no evolution of one body changing into another form. But there is a spiritual evolution. Spiritual evolution means the Atma leaves one body and it goes to another body. That is spiritual evolution. In the Padma Purana, there is a description given. Clearly it explains how many species are existing. Jalaja, Navalakshani, there are 9 lakh aquatic species, it says. Stavaram, Lakshavimshati, there are 20 lakh plants and different type of trees. Kramayo, Rudra Sankhyakaha. Kramayo means all the reptiles. There are 11 lakh reptiles. Pakshinam, Dashalakshani, there are 10 lakh type of birds, different types of species of birds. And then it says Pashavaha, Trimchalakshani, there are 3 lakh, Pashavaha means beasts, animals, 30 lakhs, Trimchalakshani, 30 lakhs. And then Manusha, Chaturlakshani, it says. And there are 4 lakh human species like that. So this number is precisely given in the Padma Purana. And it says that these are species which are categorized not simply by the morphological appearance as Darwin did. This categorization is done according to the quality of the animals and birds and human beings like that. Like you see, a cat and a tiger, Darwin categorized them in the same category. According to Darwin, they are in the same family. Family of tiger and cat. They look alike, but they are not of the same quality. The cat is always fearful. You just slap the hands, cat will run away. As a tiger, you will run away if you see a tiger. Isn't it? They don't have the same quality. They have opposite quality. So here the categorization is done according to 3 modes, which you will discuss some other time in great detail about Sattaguna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna. There are animals like camels. They are always dizzy and in Tamaguna, mode of ignorance. And tiger is a mode of passion. And cow is a Sattaguna, mode of goodness. Similarly, there are also birds also. Eagle, anybody knows? Eagle is in which mode? Eagle is in mode of passion. Yeah. Crow is in mode of ignorance. And swan is in mode of goodness. Swan lives in a clean atmosphere. The body of the swan also is very, very clean. What they eat, how they live, what is their attitude, all these things decide in which guna they live. So, we have evolution also. All of us as Atma souls, we are all evolving from one body to another. We leave one body. It is said when the soul comes from the spiritual world, first time, is given a human body. That's the first body given to him. But then, having achieved the human body, which is like a crossroad, we have to decide how we are going to live our life. Depending on how we live our life, we are given the next body. Like Papa used to say, in the West, Papa said there were so many rich men in their old age, they didn't know what to do. They would be going for fishing, sitting and fishing sometimes. Sometimes they'll be playing golf. So Prabhupada would say, these people are wiring away their valuable time. They don't know what's going to happen to them in the next life. If you die without knowing where am I going. So he would say, these people who are playing golf, trying to put a ball in a hole, they could very much become a frog in that hole or a cockroach in that hole. Because depending on what activities you do and how you develop your consciousness, you get the next body. It is not an exaggeration, it's a reality. Because the bodies are tailor-made to suit the desires of the living being. I got a nice sentence from Prabhupada. He says, mind always plans for material enjoyment, but the gross body serves as an instrument to realize such desires. I have to tell you something regarding the subtle body. Anybody knows what is subtle body? See, the Atma is pure, but covering that Atma, there is a subtle body consisting of Man, Buddhi and Ahankar. Mind, intelligence and falsity. And above that subtle covering there is this grass body, consisting of the Panchamahabhut. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Just like, you know, like men, first they wear a banyan inside, isn't it? And then you wear a coat over that. So similarly, what you see, the external coat is this grass body. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, five elements. And inside this, what is the inside coat? What is it made up of? Subtle body. So grass body, subtle body. Stula sharir, sukshma sharir. Stula and sukshma. So what does sukshma sharir consist of? Three things. What are they? Yes. Mind? Mind, intelligence and falsity. Three things. Some other time we'll discuss elaborately about these three. Mind, intelligence and falsity. For the time being, you can know what happens at the time of death. Do you know? The soul comes out of the body. But the gross body is lying, but the soul covered by the subtle body. Man, Buddhi, Ahankar, he comes out. And then he is looking for an opportunity where his mind's unfulfilled desires will get an opportunity to be fulfilled. He looks for an opportunity. So the mind is always a carrier, a vehicle of innumerable desires. And he's looking for an opportunity. Where can I fulfill these desires? And then a body suitable to that is given to him. Just like, say if somebody desires to sleep for a too long time. Like some people, they sleep today and they wake up day after tomorrow. Some students do like that, because they study a lot of exams and they sleep like that, 2 days they sleep. So somebody who wants to sleep a lot, they will be offered the body of a polar bear by the material nature. Prakriti is very strict in following a machine type of approach. It works like a machine. Just like in a machine, you put a iron rod, and then get a product outside. Material nature also is like that. It just works precisely according to your desires. You express a desire and the desire is given form. So the mental existence, it transforms into a tangible form like what you see here, according to your desires. Of course, according to what you deserve also. Somebody may say, I want to become a millionaire. He can't become unless he deserves for it. So he has to deserve it also. So there are many, many forms. In fact, every living form is based on a particular desire. You tell me a form and it has got, it's awarded according to a particular desire. In every form, you can do something special. Like you can say, kangaroos can jump very high. Like pigeons can enjoy reproduction, enjoy sex life for a long period of time. Similarly, every animal has some power. Like a given body, in that particular body, one facility is predominantly available. So we all have desires. We have to ask ourselves, what type of desires do I have now? Because those desires are only going to abode of bodies. In fact, how the mind works, if you have 10 desires in the mind, then immediately, tuck, 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 one after 10 bodies are offered to me. One body is offered, then I grow, and then I get old, I die, then the second desire is fulfilled, third desire, fourth desire, and then tenth desire. In this way, all the desires of the mind are fulfilled. And then by the time, mind has already concocted some more desires. So in this way, unlimitedly this, bodies are going on. So the Atma is traveling with a subtle body, occupying a grass body. So in Bhagavatam, very vividly it is explained that the soul comes through the rains and enters into the plants. And then when the human being eats the plants, then it enters into the blood system. Then the sperm in the semen, it carries the soul. Then when it is injected into the woman's embryo, it goes and breaks an egg, and the egg emulsifies, the ovum we call it. Then it emulsifies and starts developing. Srimad Bhagavatam very elaborately explains these things. Then the first night, how the ovum and the sperm, they mix together, it is explained. And then the fifth night, some sort of bubble is formed. Pumsa reta kanashraya, it is said, a bubble is formed. And then the tenth night, it develops into a plum sort of thing, like a plum. And the first month, end of first month, this lump of flesh, it develops a head. Only the head is developed. The second month, then it starts developing the hands and the legs. Then in the end of third month, it starts developing all the fingers and the fingers of the toe. It also starts developing the openings in the body like the eyes, the nose, the mouth, and the ears, and the anus and rectum, and all the openings start developing like that. At the end of 4th month, the hunger starts developing in the child's stomach like that. And the hair starts growing on his body. So these descriptions are given in Bhagavatam, and they were once verified with the modern medical science. Cunningham textbook of anatomy. This book is written based on the modern sophisticated approach of understanding what happens in a mother's womb. So it is very much matching with that. We wrote an article based on this too. So Bhagavatam explains, so just imagine millions of years ago the scriptures were written. How can they carry such deep, precise information what is happening in a mother's womb without having the modern sophisticated instruments that we have today? Huh? They knew everything, exactly. Because scriptures are given by God Himself. They carry absolute truth, which is irrefutable evidence. So in this way, the child, when he develops, gradually by the time 7th month, 8th month comes, his consciousness also develops more and more. And he starts feeling intense problems within, because it's like, you know, he's kept in a constricted pocket, like an arch bow. He cannot come out of it. It's like a godown. You know, if you put in a godown and lock, it's like that. It's a very, very painful situation. So in that situation, the child is praying to the Lord. My dear Lord, please kindly relieve me from this great predicament. It is so painful here. The gastric juice is burning my body. And the child has to eat whatever the mother eats. The mother is eating pungent foods, the child has to eat that. Or if the mother is drinking liquor, child has to tolerate that. All kinds of problems. So just imagine if you are put in a pocket like that, even to think of it is frightening. It's like completely pitch dark. You cannot come out of it for 10 full months, 9 full months. Then the child comes out like that. So this is the way the soul takes on a body, and then now we all have a body now, and we are growing to youth. And then you will see, as we said last week, in the last class we said, the body undergoes 6 changes. When the child is born, then birth, then there is growth, then there is maintenance, and there is production of byproducts, and there is decay, and death finally. So the same cycle keeps repeating again and again and again. So in this way, because of our own desire in the mind, we are occupying different bodies. And the cycle is going on. It's like a Ferris wheel. You know the giant wheel, you've seen? Giant wheel, and it goes up, sometimes people feel happy. And then it comes down, it appears you are going to, you know, crush to the ground. You know? When you come down, you become very frightened. Again, the wheel goes up like this. Similarly, the living being also is put in this Ferris wheel. Sometimes it becomes a devata, demigod. Sometimes he goes to the lowest, which is animal life. Sometimes he goes to Patal Loka. Sometimes he goes to Swarga Loka. Sometimes he is in the Marthi Loka where we are living now, in the middle material world, in the earthly planet. So in this way, we all are taking on bodies again and again. There is a nice prayer of Shankara. He prays, Punarati Jananam, Punarati Maranam, Punarati Janani Jatare Shayanam, Yasamsare Bhagudustare Kripaya Pare Pahi Murare. He's praying, Punarati Jananam. I am taking birth again and again. Punarati Maranam. And I am dying, my dear Lord, again and again. Punarapi Janani Jatare Shayanam. Jatara means yoni. Punarapi Janani Jatare Shayanam. I do not know how many wombs I have occupied. Millions of times I am born in so many wombs of so many mothers. And many is praying, Yaha Samsare Bahudustare is praying. This world is so much of suffering. Because when you are born, you have to work very hard. When you grow up, you have to work very hard. Body gives so many problems, mind gives so many problems, other living beings torture us in so many ways. In the material nature, there are so many problems of earthquakes and volcanoes and cutting cold, and, scorching heat and whatnot. So many sufferings. Similarly, in the body also, world life itself is suffering. Diseases, death, everything is suffering. So, saying, my dear Lord, this world is full of suffering. Kripaya pare pahi murare. Oh Murare, oh Krishna, please have mercy upon me. Deliver me from the cycle of birth and death. So in Bhagavad Gita book, if you see, there is a picture, you will see there is a vast ocean. There is a very, very vast ocean. And the devotee of the Lord is raising hands like this. You have seen this picture? How many of you have seen this? This picture. The devotee is raising hands. You have seen Bhagavad Gita as it is? So there is a... nice picture of the Lord delivering a devotee. I don't know whether in this book it's there. In one of the books I have seen. All of you have seen it? understand, I'm not getting it here. But in the talk, Lord is coming in Garuda, Bhakara Garuda, and delivering the devotee who is lifting his arms and praying to the Lord like that. That is why we lift the arms as a sign of surrender. We are surrendered to the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with this famous line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'll conclude the lecture today. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang, Anadi karma phale paribhavanava jale karibhara dekhina upay. He said, my dear Lord, I am feeling as if I am a small piece of straw or grass which is thrown into a vast Atlantic Ocean. If you throw a small piece of grass in the ocean, what can you do? Sometimes the waves or the tides, high tides, take him high. Sometimes they batter them down. Again, he is swept away like this. So my condition is like that, my dear Lord, he says. I am a tiny soul. In this world of samsara, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Anybody can solve this riddle? Anybody knows? Water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Who can say what is the answer to this? Of course, children will say ocean or sea. For children, it's a good answer. For adults, another answer is expected. We can't drink it, yes? So, what is it similar to? Water, water everywhere. Happiness, happiness everywhere, but you can never enjoy. Which place is that? Material world. When material world appears, there is happiness everywhere. There are many people, they say that you can get happiness by many things. But then you try to get happiness, you cannot get. Like on the way I saw, somebody is putting tobacco in the mouth, you know. They write some Marathi advertisement. You all have seen it? Isn't it? What they have written? You forgot. I saw some gone ago, jink chanachi vat maranachi. They write like that, isn't it? It's a flickering pleasure for a moment that paves road to hell, that paves road to death, like that. There are many flickering pleasures available in this world, but you try to enjoy them, they will pave road to hell, like that, or death, like that. So that is why this material world is compared to ocean, you cannot drink water. At the same time, it is just swaying you. Even a swimmer will get tired, isn't it? Even a swimmer, how long can he swim? Even the best of the swimmers. We get tired in a vast ocean. That is our condition. We are suffering in so many ways. So he is praying, I do not have any upay to escape from this world, except, my dear Lord, when you come to deliver me, then I can be removed from this. And become aquatic. They also show that. And the Bhava Chakra is rotating constantly. So they all are revolving in the cycle. Until when one achieves the Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva, when one achieves, he goes out of that chakra. Out of the chakra. And then he achieves the Buddhahood. Buddhahood means, he has become free from all the misgivings like kama, krodha, lobha, moha, all those things, and he has achieved a pure state, pristine state, and he can achieve the bodhisattva like that. Actually, little every religion talks about it. You talk about Buddhism or Jainism or Sikhism or Hinduism or Christianity or Islam. They all are talking about suffering in this world and going to another place where there is no suffering, and one can achieve that ultimate state. In fact, it is not some phantasmagoria that we are talking about. It is something that one can feel within while being in this world, even while being in this world. Great saintly people have experienced it and they have realized it and they have even given it to other people. Of course, this is not a prerogative only of the sadhus and saints living in remote places. It's a prerogative of everyone. Otherwise, Krishna would not be preaching this to Arjuna, who is a family man, having a great duty of, you know, delivering the whole world. So, it is for one and all. So, through this, Krishna is telling through this verse that, my dear Arjuna, these bodies which people are wearing are simply like dresses. So do not lament for the loss of your relatives. Your relatives are now siding adharma, like even Bhishma Pitama, Dronacharya, and all the Kauravas, they all are heading adharma. But you should not hesitate to kill them. Their bodies are simply like a dress. By killing them, the souls will not be killed, only their bodies will be killed. And they will achieve a glorious state. And you will also achieve all glory. Because the adharma should be punished. Just like in a court, sometimes if one of the relatives is standing on the adharma side in the court, and you happen to be the high court judge, so you have to give judgment. You cannot favor him just because he happens to be your relative. So you have to be righteous when you are making the judgment. Similarly, Lord is telling Arjuna. So now, give up this false attachments and punish these people who are siding adharma, because their bodies are simply like the dresses. So by this, Krishna is giving him the ultimate knowledge of how the soul is a servant of God, but having forgotten this virgin knowledge is now rotating in the cycle of birth and death constantly. All of us are in a similar situation like Arjuna. So we have to take this message very seriously. And we can sometimes sit in a place, close our eyes and contemplate on this point of how this body is no more than a dress and you are different from this body. See, sometimes they do eye operation, you see. Sometimes you put somebody else's eyes. Do you get that person's quality by putting the eyes? Or sometimes they change the kidney, kidney transplant or heart transplant. Like if a person has been a rogue throughout his life, you take his heart and you put it in your heart. Do you become a rogue by that? Why you don't become a rogue? That means you can have a heart transplant, you can have an eye transplant, you can have a kidney transplant, but these are all simply like a dress. You, the real soul, the person is different from the, all the other external things that are present in the body. So it is something that can be realized by every one of us. As you progress in spiritual life, you can clearly see. In fact, our situation in the body is a very, very troublesome thing. If any of you say that you have no problem in life, you just close your ears. All of you close your ears for a moment. Like this. Are you able to hear a sound? Are you able to hear a sound? What is the sound, anybody can say? This is a struggle for existence. Because this body, just even to exist, it works like a factory. It's like a big factory. You can hear the sound. So, simply existing in this body, morning you wake up and say, oh, I am alive for one more day. Because you don't know when will we die. One more day God gives you. And anytime anything can happen to this body, it's so delicate. Something hits your body, immediately it starts bleeding. So, it's such a delicate body. Somebody is walking on the street and one hit, it gets finished. So, you should take this human form of life very seriously. You should not take it lightly. Because this kind of body is very rare. Amongst all the forms I was telling you, the human form is the most rare. And it's the most rare. And in this form you can understand all this knowledge which we are speaking today. So I'll stop here if you have any questions. Yeah? Another, yeah. Yeah.
So why do we do Shraddha? Like, you know, the soul is already
in the body. Yeah. See, Shraddha is such a ceremony which is like money order, you know. Like, say, somebody's uncle sends a money order from Delhi. You know, the same rupee note may not come to you, you know, but that amount comes to you. So he's sending money in Delhi and you get it in Pune here like that. In the same way, Shraddha also is a, like, when a person dies, the soul has left the body. And he must have gone to the next destination, you know, he must have gone to hell or he must have gone to heaven or he must have gone to the next body. But the good thing you do, the punya of that is taken to that soul. By a superior arrangement it is taken to that soul. It achieves that. And also they say, sometimes people commit a lot of sinful activities when they are living, you know, like grandfather or grandmother or somebody. When they die, they may not get a proper, I mean, human body, they may get a ghostly body. So if they get a ghostly body, if you do Shraddha here, then this punya goes to them and then they can get freed from the ghostly body and they can achieve a human body. One time Agastya was walking in the forest, you know, and he saw there were ghosts hanging from the tree upside down. He was shocked to see them. Then he went near them and he found out, who are you? Then he found that they were his forefathers. Then he immediately performed some Shraddha. And at once they left the ghostly body and they achieved a human body immediately, like that. So, Shraddha is performed so that they see, the Shastras always teach us many good things. Sometimes a man is an old man, you know, like a man who was 70 years old. He was throwing a mango seed and somebody came and laughed at him. They asked him, "Hey, fool, what is the use of putting a mango tree? You are already 80 year old man." But this man said, "My descendants will enjoy the fruit, you know. My grandson can enjoy the mangoes. So I am putting for him." So similarly, the grandchildren are also grateful to their grandfathers and fathers like that. They perform the tarpan and pitru tarpan and all those things. So that although the soul has left the body, wherever the soul is, he will achieve the benefits of what this person is performing like that. Yeah. And God can arrange it. It's not very difficult. Nowadays what all modern day techniques we have, you know, like you can have electronic transfer of money, you know, from Pune to America. In 5 minutes you can transfer your money from here to there. And we have so many electronic gadgets, you know. You can have a small mobile and you can talk to a person in London or somewhere. So if man can do these things, why can't God transfer this good credits to that person somewhere else, isn't it? It's not a very difficult thing for him.
Period of transformation changes?
That will change. Period of transformation will change. When a person dies, you know, he may be sent to hell, you know, and after spending a long time in hell, he may come and take up a new body. Or somebody may leave a body, immediately acquire the next body, the very same planet. It may vary. That's not a, there is no fixed period there.
Yeah, world.
How could we know that this is our first body or second body or third body? Generally, the Lord is first given a human body and then he is given the free will also. He always has the free will. We do not know exactly whether this is the first human body we have got or it is a body which you got after several lifetimes. Generally, all of us, it's not likely that this is our first body because if it were, generally the first body we are in a mood of enjoying. And we are, already we have turned away from God and we have come here. And we are in a mood of enjoyment, exploiting everything in this world. So in that mood, naturally one will go down to animal bodies after that. From human body, by indulging in wrong activities, one goes to animal body or aquatics or birds and things like that. And after spending many, many lifetimes, then again one comes to human form. In human form also, there are many forms. The lowest of the human form will be a person, you know, who is very animalistic in his desires. He is very selfish. And then in a higher form, he is selfish for his own family. Then in a higher form, he is selfish for his caste people. Then in his higher form, maybe he is selfish for his own country people, like that. Like that, you know, his vision gradually broadens more and more. And then in a higher form, he begins to inquire about God. And then after many, many lifetimes of inquiring about God, he begins to understand exactly what God is. Like all of you assembled here, you are understanding the subject. That requires actually many, many lifetimes in this world. Bahunam Janmanaman Krishna, Yanavan Mapati. After many, many lifetimes you begin to understand Krishna. Anybody else has a question? Or some viewers can repeat one or two sentences from the lecture today. Who would like to say some point? You remember the point, actually why I want to hear from you, by hearing from you the point that you like the most, I can also understand your understanding. How much you have grasped the lecture. So I can proceed accordingly for that. You all can make one point? You can little later, isn't it? Yes, yes. No problem. After you came, whatever I said, from there you can say one point. Who would like to speak first? I don't want to go in order. You can just raise your hand and you can tell a point, yeah. Yes,
so every time in the lecture we hear that we are suffering.
Yeah.
But still in a heart meeting, actually we are not suffering so much. Like every life we are told that we are suffering, but still, why the seriousness doesn't come out?
Actually, this world is a place of mixed suffering and happiness. Suffering and both are there. It's like sweet rice, you know. If you put sweet rice in the mouth, if there is some stone that comes in between, that time you feel very bad. Oh, why the stone, you know? I just want to throw away the sweet rice. But then you think, oh, it is a little sweet also, you know. Okay, let me try again, you know. Okay, let me try again. Maybe next time stone may not come, you know. Like that we try again. So life is always mixed. In all of our lives, you can even ask the richest of the people, even they say there are occasions in their life when they felt like committing suicide, you know. When they felt like, you know, just, you know, I want to end my life. Sufferings actually go to a peak sometimes. And then again, they get, you know, carried away by the luxuries that come in life. Again, suffering will come. You ask people when somebody dies in their family, how they feel. It's very, very painful. They feel that, you know, the world has come to an end, you know, you feel like that. But then again, people go back. But actually, intelligence means to hear and apply in life. That is intelligence. Prabhupada says, in Upadeshamala, Prabhupada gives example. Sometimes one hears, Drishta Shutapyam Yat Papam, Jaranapi Atmanakitam. It is said, Drishta means with your eyes you see that somebody who steals others' property will be punished by the government and rebuked by people in general when you see somebody stealing. So you are seeing somebody being punished and you are also hearing that we should not steal. Then a person thinks, oh, I will not steal. He is the most intelligent person. But there are other, there is another less intelligent person who sees people are punished. And he has also heard about it, but he goes and steals anyway. So, intelligence means to hear and accept. That is intelligence. And less intelligence means to experience oneself, you know, and then understand that, okay, now you do the stealing and then you cut away the police, you are beaten up. Now you won't do it again like that. But then Prabhupada says, but a third class person also is there. First class, second class, huh? Third class. He is a rascal, he says. Who is a rascal? He is gone to the police, he is beaten up thoroughly. And he is crying, he's making a big human cry and police is catching him and whipping him with the belt and everything. Then after putting in the jail, jail is thinking, some or other committed a small mistake in my stealing. Huh? Next time I will do it very intelligently. Things like that. He is a rascal for possession. Similarly, the living being also, intelligence means to hear it, oh, we all are suffering like this. No, I don't want to be born again. You hear it once, and then you take it very seriously. And child-like intelligence means you don't understand it. Then you are waiting for sufferings to come in your own life. When they come, then you think, oh, now it is so. Just imagine our body, as I was telling you today, all of a sudden some disease comes in the body, isn't it? You just cannot predict what will come, what will happen, which time in our body and our relative's body. You know. Any kind of pain can come in our body. So intelligence means to prepare ourselves before. You know. We should not wait for that moment to come which will defeat us completely. Parabhavastabhada bodha jato yavanna jignyasta atmatatvam. Bhagavatam it says, parabhava means everyone will be defeated in their life at one point or the other. Once you be ready, before that moment comes, we should conquer this birth and death and go back to God. By hearing. And we have experienced it several times. Now we should not think, okay, actually the natural living beings always adjust the situation and somehow or other remain happy. Some suffering comes, you know, somehow or other, you know, brush it aside and try to put a cocoon around you. You know cocoon? Why I use the word cocoon? Cocoon means a silkworm is inside a cocoon. Similarly, we also, from our own ideas and plan making business, we put a cocoon around us and we become bound by that family, by that. People think, they want to make the situation happier and happier, somehow or other, fight away all the sufferings like that. But don't last a long time. Old age will come, disease will come, death will come. We have to think about these things. We have to see, like Siddhartha was born in a rich family, isn't it? Siddhartha, Gautama Buddha, once his father sent him to go for outing, he was going in a chariot along with his minister. Then he saw a dead body being carried. He asked, what is this? And the minister said, oh, don't you know this? This is death. Death, what does it mean? Then he was told, death means that's the end of life. Then what happens to a person? And the minister said, oh, if death comes, then the body becomes dysfunctional. You can't do any activity. Then a person doesn't speak, he doesn't do anything, then the body is finished now. Then you inquire like that. So we have to inquire also. If you are intelligent, we have to inquire. So what is happening to others might happen to me also. So before that moment comes, we prepare ourselves. Actually, I wanted all of you to make one point. We will conclude our questions with this. Anand, would you like to make a point? Any one point from the class today? Actually, you will be able to make one point which you have listened the most attentively, or the point which you like the most. So you can make one of those points. We have spoken a lot, very exhausted. But you can speak one point. Any other? Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, what is that? What is that? That is the material world. Yes, Bhavasagar. Yeah. Material world. That's why we should, it's not that we want to have happiness. The real happiness is in the spiritual world. Just like in a desert, mirage is there in a desert. That doesn't mean there is no water anywhere. Real water is somewhere in the fresh pool waters of the river. Like that, the real happiness is in the spiritual sky. Anybody else? Any other mantras? Any other approaches? Yeah.
Like the soul, like the other one is the super soul.
Yes.
Always guides the soul.
Yes, correct. Very good. And the fruit eating bird is the soul. Yeah. Better fruits and sweet fruits. Yeah. Anybody else? Who else would like? As much? Exactly, yeah. We all have disease. Many many diseases in our mind and suitable body is given to us apparently. Yeah. Anybody else? As much, you can tell something about that. What did you understand from what I said today?
Yeah, basically in the school we are taught that we are come from like apes and all
things. Yeah.
So basically we are always there and human form is always there from like many
years. Actually, dawn of creation human beings have existed. So they present only one side of the theory. Though researchers which defeat Darwin's theory are not presented in the school textbooks. Because they presented it, how will the children accept? No? So those things are hidden from the school children, yeah. Now we have materials in the internet and all. You all can go and I can give you sites, you can go and see. So many, nowadays scientists have become really courageous. They just, in fact there are books completely exposing all the cheatings in the field of science. There is a book by Weeks, what I think, he's written a book on the bone peddlers, that's a book. All the cheatings in the field of archaeology are exposed now. There are many books like that. So we have to understand, even scientifically, even with little understanding of science, you can appreciate how Darwin's theory has no grounds. So we have to understand it. So that, yeah, let them go through it. When they come to 10th standard also, you can explain to them. They can understand it better. Yeah. Of course, a time will come when you change the school textbooks also completely. We are working on that. The time will come. It will take some time. So we have to go to the grassroots level. You have to go and see that even the textbooks are not presenting fallacies. Very important. Anybody else? Anybody? Yeah, and if somebody wants to eat flesh and drink blood,
lion
or tiger will get, yeah. And if somebody wants to be in water all the time swimming, like that. So bodies are accordingly allotted to them. Very good, yeah. That was a very important point you covered today. Yeah. Anybody else? One point? You all can make one statement like this. Just one statement, yeah.
Comparison with the science and the Bhagavad Gita written. Today the biological, they are proving it. What Gita has written was 100% correct.
Correct. So it just proves the authority of Bhagavad Gita when you see that, yeah. Like in last time we were discussing about past life memories, inventions of Ian Stevenson, you know. So those people are now finding out that what the Shastras say is true. Now, this is the beauty of the Shastras. They always stood the test of time. Millions of years will pass, but the Shastra proofs will never change. The mind same. Anybody else?
Yeah. No,
they were showing?
Yeah.
Now they have a big institute, so they naturally, now they can't hide anything more. Yeah. It's like open, it's like, you know, yeah. Yes.
Advantage.
Of course, if you see in the internet, they have a 40-50 page article on Dwarka, the elaborately they have. Some of the time I speak about how sometimes we think science is giving us many advantages, but the disadvantages are overwhelmingly more, if you see like that. We say science has its advantages, like, you know, it's like saying a knife, you know, is it good or bad? People often say that the misuse of science only has, you know, spoiled the world. But then a child is bound to misuse a knife, you know. Child can never use a knife properly. And they are like children. So they are bound to misuse science. Okay, any other point? Anybody else who hasn't spoken till now? Or somebody else can? You have spoken, man? Yeah. One who hasn't spoken till now, they can speak. I will get confidence that you have understood the subject. That's my whole point. If you speak one sentence, sensible sentence, then I will be confident as you understood. Mr. Tyagi would like to. One sentence, just one. Question? It is a little late. Next time I'll take this. After everyone makes a statement. Anybody else? Question made.
You gave us two understandings. First, that in the Shastras, things have been written so long ago which the scientists have discovered very recently. For example, how the child develops in the womb.
How the child develops in the womb, I said, yeah.
And another understanding you gave us was that besides the gross body, we have a subtle body.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's very true. So those who haven't spoken, then I will ask some simple questions to them. So they will answer. By answering questions, they will prove that they understood. Mr. Daji, you can say what happens at the time of death? What happens at the time of death? Yes. And soul leaves the body and where does it go? Along with what? Our soul, is naked soul is coming out? Or is covered by something? Yes. What does it consist of?
Mind, intelligence and
ego.
Ego.
Yeah. And then what happens to the soul after that?
Goes to some other body.
Very good. So that is understood very well. So you can ask questions. Somebody can ask the question to Anand, who would like to ask the question. That is why you can ask the question to Anand. Then I'll understand. Very good. It's understood. By our desires and what we, let's say we call it a desire and deserts, we call it. Desire and what we deserve, based on that. Anand is understood. It's most important, this is the essence of today's lecture actually. And you can ask questions to those who haven't spoken. Ask questions. Yes.
If you are doing good karma, he is also getting suffering. And he is doing bad karma, he is also getting suffering.
Yes.
So why is that?
Ah.
If he is doing good karma, he should not get suffering at all.
But how do you know who has done good, who has done bad in the past? How do you know?
Not past, this life.
In this life?
In this life.
No, actually, the law of karma, how it works, example is given, actually, simple example. Say somebody has committed a murder. You know, he is wearing a lungi and he has a big mustache, committing a murder. Now, all of a sudden, police is chasing him. He goes to a barber shop, immediately removes the mush, and he wears a pant and shirt, and then he comes out of the shop. What do you think police will do? Will police catch him or not catch him? Huh?
Will not catch him.
How many of you think police will not catch him?
After getting some proofs, they will catch him.
Yeah. See, police are certainly far more intelligent than the thieves, isn't it? So he may just shave his mush, he may change his dress, but they'll catch him certainly. He's the same person. He just changed his ways. And now he may do many good things. He may become like a gentleman, he may shake hands with people. But then the police catch him and tell him, my dear friend, first you take, you know, punishment for what you have done. That will be given to him. And then he may get good result for whatever good he did. Similarly, the soul is committing so many abominable activities in one body and then leaves that body and goes to the next body. But the karma, bandhan as you call it, that follows the soul. Wherever the soul, we are all carrying a burden on our back of bad karmas, a big heap. So he is carrying with him, and that is what causes him suffering in this life. Now he is trying to do good, but then what about the past that he has done? He can't escape from it, and that follows him. Till that old burden of sack of sins are exhausted, till that time, even if you do good, those results will keep coming. And then for the good you do now, good results will also come later. Eventually it will come. Actually, the good things and bad things happen at different periods of time. Like instant karma we call it. Instant karma means you give a slap to someone, they give a slap to you. It's instant karma. But there is karma which will come after 1 week, which will come after 1 year, which will come after 50 years, and which will come after many lifetimes also like that. So karma works in a very subtle fashion. But karma, you know, is something that you will never be able to escape. It always follows you. When one surrenders to God, then Krishna can eradicate one's karma. He can completely burn away all the bad reactions that comes in our life. For a devotee, Krishna can do that. Otherwise, a common, normal living being in this world, they all are just karmas are acting on them, good and bad karmas acting on them. Yeah. Those politicians who are all enjoying now, you know, appear to be enjoying like anything. They are reaping the good fruits of what they have done in the past. Of course, we think they are enjoying, but if you take a closer look, then you will see that they also have many sufferings. Like, you know, Rajiv Gandhi was like, you know, he was the Prime Minister of India at one time, but how did he die, you see? Why should one die like that? There are many cinema actresses and actors. Sometimes people think, how nice if I can get a beautiful body like her or like him, you know. Such a beautiful body, you know, anybody, as soon as they come out, you know, people go mad. That's so beautiful. But then such and such person, such and such actor or actress was murdered, you know. So are we ready to take up that? We want only one side. We want beauty, but we don't want such death, isn't it? We aren't ready for it. So we shouldn't always think, so she or he got a beautiful body because they did good in the past. You know? Some good in the past, that gave them good. But they also have done something so bad in the past that caused their murder. Or they won't die. So the good and bad come according to activity. Some of them we'll discuss when we come to karma point. We'll discuss it that time. Maybe one person can ask to your good name, what's your good name?
Rajesh.
I'm Sir Rajesh. You would like to ask your brother some question? Your brother's brother, you know?
Sir.
You would like to say some point? Are you Prabhuji will ask? Prabhuji can ask this.
Yeah. Our soul is covered by body, it's like clothes.
Yes.
The soul changes the clothes and leaves one set of clothes to go to another set of clothes.
Ah, very good, very good. This is the most fundamental knowledge, very nice. Yeah. Who hasn't spoken now? Raise your hand, who all haven't spoken? Yes, ma'am.
Happiness is inside the soul, so we need to find out inside and not find out everywhere in the material world.
Ah.
As in all, we love God and we automatically have happiness in our life.
Yes.
And not in the material world.
Exactly, very good.
Example of a deer. It has a fragrance of kasturi inside the body, but finding out
everywhere.
If you come to it inside, you'll be happy.
Very good, very nice point. Yeah, this is one of the important points you covered, yeah. Anybody else? Who hasn't covered? Mother, you can ask a question to her, that mother. Although I don't think you all feel, huh? The number may be difficult.
There are numbers, what they, like in biology, the species according to, you know, like cat and tiger and the same, but in Shastra, the species are in different categories according to their guna, tamaguna and
other. Very good, very good. I think everyone has understood, only they don't know which point to remember now. Probably they have too many points. Okay. Hare Krishna. So we'll chant for 1 quarter and 5 minutes, can chant. Give it easy.